Our lesson today is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, I left off speaking unto you how that Christ prayed even for his enemies when they were crucifying him. And Friday night, all of you that were present heard how that he was also committed to the earth. We had a sermon on the funeral of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will pick up the subject today out of the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter, about the resurrection of Christ. We find in the first verse, very early in the morning, as it began to dawn, that three women, they left the city and they went towards the sepulcher. These women, they had purchased spices in which they were going to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. These women, they had ministered unto him when he was alive. They had followed him around and had helped him immensely in giving him the things that were necessary for this life. These women, they had a great love and affection for Jesus. Although he was buried and their hopes probably were buried with him, still the love towards him had not died in them. This love brought them up early in the morning, very early. As the Sabbath came to an end, we find these women on the way to the sepulchre. The Jews, their Sabbath day was on Saturday. It began at sundown Friday night and ended on Saturday on sundown again. This Sabbath day has been changed under the Christian dispensation. It has been altered to the first day of the week, the day upon which Christ had appeared many times unto his disciples and to the women. There were five appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this first day of the week. After this, there were six more appearances of Christ, and then he went to heaven. We find these women very early in the morning on the way. This teaches us that these women, they had something over for the Lord Jesus Christ. They got up very early, and they likewise had spent some of their substance to take some spices with them to embalm him. This puts many of us to shame, my hearers. How many of us would get up early in the morning in an act of love towards the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of my hearers make it a practice of getting up a little early in the morning so that you can bend your knees, so that you can pray to God, so that you can sit down and comfortably read the scriptures? How many of you men especially? Do you lay in bed to the last minute? Do you jump out of bed, forget to pray, run off to work? Haven't even any time for breakfast? Shame on you. If that's your life, take an example of these women. They get up very early in the morning. Timid creatures, the weaker sex, still their love carried them in this respect to the grave of Christ. All my hearers, when we think of these oh, how we get up early in the morning if we're going to go somewhere. Oh, if we have a day that we are free and we want to go somewhere, say down to the seashore or say to some other place to see something, oh, we can get up early in the morning while we're right there ready to go. Especially if we're going to go on a vacation for a couple of weeks. Oh, how early we get up in the morning to start off on this journey. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, sad to say, how little we have over for him. Why, I'm sure many of you probably, even on a Lord's Day morning, especially the Lord's Day's morning, when you are to come to the house of worship, how few get up out of bed? How few kneel down before you come to the house of worship? How few seek his face, that he would be in our midst, that he would bless us, that he would visit us, that he would come down with his spirit and witness amongst us, that he would bless his servants and bless his people with his precious presence. Oh, I'm sure many of you, when I'm speaking this way, must say, guilty, guilty. How little do I do this? How little do I have over for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a sign that you have no love to him, my hearers. Oh, you had any love, any affection towards him, and you needed him for your immortal souls, then I'm sure you would be up very early in the morning. You would be seeking him constantly and continuously. And now these women, in their great love to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're on their way to the sepulchre. The sepulchre where Christ had been laid in was hewn out of stone. And there was a door at the mouth of the sepulchre which against a great stone had been rolled. Now these sepulchres then were places where the bodies were kept of many notable men and preserved in this way for many ages. And now we find these women speaking with each other. They probably had forgotten all about the stone that had been rolled to the door of the sepulchre. In their haste, in their love, all they wanted to do this wonderful favor and show their respect to Jesus and embalm him. But while they were walking, there came to their mind, there's a stone laying against the door. There was an obstacle in the way. How would they remove this great stone? Because some of them had been there when they had rolled this stone against the door. They had been with these two disciples, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, when they buried Christ. And now, my hearers, this obstacle arose in their minds. If God has given you, my hearers, that wonderful grace to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, then obstacles arise in the way in seeking him. The greatest obstacle that you will find in the way will be sin. Oh, what a heavy burden is sin. What an obstacle. It's such a mountain. It's such a great stone. It's something that you and I cannot remove. It's something that you and I will have trouble with the rest of our lives. Sin, what an obstacle. And if God opens up to you your past life, your many sins, oh, you'll say, there's no forgiveness for me. There'll be no deliverance for my soul. This obstacle will never be put away. It's going to drown me. It's going to sink me into hell. These thoughts arise in those that are seeking Christ. This obstacle, sin, is a mighty stone. There is another obstacle, unbelief. Oh, this obstacle, it takes so fast hold upon the souls of God's dear children. Unbelief, what a great sin it is. How it would rob us of everything that God has given unto us. How it would teach us and deny unto us everything that we have received of a spiritual nature. Unbelief will make us think that Christ wouldn't have anything to do with the likes of us. And that we have to be holy, that we have to be without sin, or otherwise he'll never receive us. Unbelief will picture unto us so many things which would cause us to turn away from seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is only one object, my hearers, that can overcome unbelief, and that is faith. When God instills a little faith into a sinner's soul, it overcomes this great obstacle, unbelief. And there is another obstacle in the way, and that is the law. Oh, the law against which we have transgressed so many times. Oh, and then the curses of this law. Cursed is he that keepeth not all these things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And some poor souls think, oh, they're going to have these curses coming to them to all eternity. They're going to be cursed away from God because they have sinned so often against his holy law. But all one sight of this great law fulfiller will give you such an encouragement, such strength, and this obstacle will immediately vanish away. And my hearers, there are so many things that are in the way of those that are seeking Christ. These women, they had this obstacle in the way, the stone. And the Lord is so wonderful. Even before that these women came to the grave, he had removed the obstacle. And so likewise, he removes so many obstacles out of the way in the hearts of his dear children. And now when these women came to the grave, and we find that there had been a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended out of heaven, whose appearance was as lightning. And for fear of him, the keepers that stood at the door, they began to tremble and quake, and they fled away from the sepulcher. This was something that God did, my hearers. There was a great earthquake. There's just been a great earthquake again. Solemn thought, earthquakes. Oh, have you ever stopped to think what an earthquake would do if ever God should bring one in this territory? If ever he should open the earth, say, take New York City, and if he ever should open the earth in that great city, what an awful thing it would be. Or maybe you say, God will never do that. Don't be too sure about it, my hearers. Maybe these people that just experienced it in this city said the same thing. All earthquakes are terrible things. Earthquakes, according to ancient history, were caused by volcanic eruptions and gastric explosions under the ground. But modern science has found out that there isn't too much truth in that. They claim that the crust of the earth is weakened in various places, and there's too much stress underneath where this crust is. And then suddenly the stress gives way and the crust of the earth breaks open. They claim there are over 100,000 earthquakes a year. Some of them are so minor that you wouldn't even notice them, even if it's just like if an automobile or a truck goes past on the road in the front of your house. But then there are others that are very severe. And when this takes place, why, houses and buildings tumble right in the hole that the earthquake makes in the ground. Earthquakes have been upon the world ever since creation. The Bible speaks of earthquakes, my hearers. We have this man Elijah standing on a mountain. And he was listening. The Lord was not in the earthquake. There was an earthquake at the time of Elijah. There was an earthquake likewise in the time of Uzzah, a tremendous earthquake according to Josephus. He says there was a great mountain on the west side of the city, and when this earthquake took place, it moved it a mile and a half out of its place. Earthquakes, my hearers, are spoken of in Scripture quite often. Some think that Sodom and Gomorrah, these two cities of the plain, they were engulfed in an earthquake and made into a standing lake, as it is to this very day. And there have been earthquakes throughout the universe, terrible catastrophes. If you should happen to have an encyclopedia home and you look up the word earthquake, it'll give you quite a few number of them that have been taking place throughout the ages that this world has stood. The first one that was recorded for the United States was in the year 1897. And that happened in the city of Charleston, North Carolina. There wasn't too much loss of life, but there was a tremendous loss of property. The next one recorded for the United States is in the year 1906 in the city of San Francisco. There were about 500 people killed in that earthquake, but the destruction was tremendous. According to the history that I read, this earthquake destroyed all the water mains underneath the ground, and fires broke out throughout the whole city of San Francisco. And these fires, they ravaged right through the city for 3 days. There was so much tremendous loss of property and of buildings. See in this, my hearers, the hand of God. Just now we have just an earthquake. We haven't had the exact number of lives that have been lost in it. But earthquakes are terrific things that God sends upon the earth as judgments. And now, my hearers, there was an earthquake when Christ Jesus was given to arise out of the dead. Now, there must be an earthquake likewise inside of each and every one of us. An earthquake is a convulsion, is an upheaval within. Has it ever happened to you, my hearers? Has God ever given unto you an earthquake inside? Has he ever brought up before you your sins, your past life, what you have done against a good, a kind, a gracious, a merciful God? Has your heart ever broken and become contrite before this God? Has it ever led you to seek him in secret, to cry unto him, and to confess your many sins before him? What a blessing if this has taken place in your life, my hearers. It means God has something to do with you, that God will not leave you go on in your sins. Oh, this wonderful thing, when God comes into a person's heart with his spirit and causes such an upheaval that a person can't go on any longer in sin, must depart from it, must leave it and forsake it, and wish that it would never sin anymore. How many of you have had this, my hearers? This earthquake that God sent was for a purpose. This angel descending, this mighty angel, he took the stone immediately away from the door of the sepulcher. Angels are mighty beings, my hearers. Angels, they surround the immediate throne of God and they view his presence continually. Oh, they are glorious characters. We find angels speaking unto the shepherds when Christ was born. We find likewise when he was tempted in the wilderness of likewise, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, that an angel came and strengthened him. Here God has an angel again sent from heaven for this express purpose, that Jesus would be given to come out of the grave. This angel rolled a stone away so easy. And these keepers, when they seen this personage, this glorious angel, probably clothed in white, showing forth its purity, these keepers, they fled in haste. They trembled all over. And this angel, he took possession immediately of the grave. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ was now unable to come out of the grave. The way was opened by the Father. As Paul says, he was raised up by the Father. Still Jesus said himself, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again. He came forth. He triumphed over death, over the grave. He arose, this mighty victor. Oh, this glorified Jesus came forth. In all his glory out of this grave. Oh, my hearers. When these women came to the grave, then they found the stone rolled away from the door of the sepulcher. And when they came to look into the sepulcher, they see an angel sitting, probably at the head or at the feet where Jesus had lain. And of these women, there were three of them. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. Mary Magdalene, she was a woman that had been a notorious character. She had been a great sinner, but she had also been forgiven all her sins, and she loved him very much. Mary, the mother of James and of John the Evangelist, she was the mother of the Zebedee's sons. And Salome, she was one that likewise was of Herod's household. These three women, they came to the grave, and there the angel met them and spake unto them. I suppose that they were filled with fear likewise when they seen this glorious angel, for he said unto them, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus. He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where he hath lain. Oh, my hearers, what a wonderful way did God have of using this angel. Angels are messengers, tiding bearers. Here, this angel is used by God as a messenger to speak.